And it is a microphone too?
This is recording.
Oh, but it's not going to be a microphone.
No.
Oh, I thought Pastor James said it was a microphone. No. So it doesn't make me louder. Okay.
Yeah. And I also have the video recording. That's for the website.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. I know. It's very weird.
Start on time.
Okay. Welcome. My name is Jane Ishimoto, and I teach release time, and I help Sally with the Long Beach Bellflower release time classes. And I'm so glad you came today. My talk is called Strategies for Hands-On Learning, because I am an active person and I like to move around and like my kids to move around. But a little bit about me, I have to share this because it's so special to me. So when I first got married, we lived in the blue house across the street, and we came to this church. Was our first church for the first 11 years of our married life. And then we moved, and I was a children's director at Lakewood First Baptist. And then I feel like my worlds are all colliding here, because then we went to Bellflower Brethren when I had my fourth child, and I have Bellflower Brethren friends here today. And then two of the girls in the last workshop said, my brother was in your class when you taught school at Las Flores, which is in Bellflower Unified, and he's now 26 in the military. So he was in my third grade class. And then now I'm at Bethel Grace, and these are my Bethel Grace friends. So it's like my whole life right here. So it's very cool, and I'm excited. And this is Miss Sandra. She's my, this is our team, and we teach at a school in Lakewood. So it's very fun. Yeah, it's a big blessing. Okay, we're going to do the four learning types. And the first one that's on your handout is visual, when you learn by seeing. These are the four ways kids learn. So seeing, observing things like giving them a handout or a presentation. These are kids that like to, they're very observant kids. They like to look, they like to have visuals. And we know a lot of our kids' culture is very visual because they're on their computers a lot, they're on the television, or they're on their phones. Hopefully not when they're too young, right? They learn through sight, and they understand information better if it's in a visual way. These kind of students like to doodle or make lists or take notes. I'm gonna show you a few ways of how to incorporate that kind of learning into your classrooms. So the first one, I wrote it on here because I know you're gonna have a lot to write. So the days of creation. So I like to, this is a really simple way to learn. A lot of kids, even though I've learned through life that it's not really important that we know all the details, it's the general concepts of scripture and like how to apply it to our lives, right? But it's really fun to know these things and to know that, like, how God did things. It's so orderly, right? And he just has a purpose for everything. So day one is light, right? So what are the specific lights that God made? Yell it out.
Sun.
Yes. And if you set it up like this, it's going to match. So on day one, it was light, just light, right, that we have. And then on day four, across from it is sun, moon, and stars. Day two, he made the sky and the water. And what lives in the sky and the water?
The birds and the fishes.
And that was on five. And day three was land and plants. Yes. So what's on the land? And so it's the trees, plants, shrubs, grass, all that. And what other things? Yeah, the land animals, all the mammals, all that. Animals, except for the birds and fish. And of course, man. Okay, so I actually use this myself because I forget sometimes what days. So if I just know these, Because, you know, we all know let there be light, right? So we remember that and then just remember, okay, 1, 2, 3, then 4, 5, 6, and they match.
Thank you so much.
Any questions? Got it? And for, so for the visual learners, not just writing the word, because even we might have kids that don't even know how to read, but you could do, if you're an artist, you can draw pictures, right? Or they can be drawing pictures to match your words. So you could have them in teams and you could give them a poster board and have them do it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then make pictures to go with it. And they'll remember it better that way too. And then you can post them in your room and they're excited that they created something. Student created work is always really good for kids. They like to see their own work. And then their parents can see what they're learning too, which is awesome. Okay, so a visual game. I played this last week because we're learning the Ten Commandments right now at release time. And my kids went crazy, literally crazy. Miss Sandra kids, they got so competitive with this game. So, oh, and this is the website that I found this on. It's free. And then I just mounted them on cardstock and laminated them. I always try to laminate stuff because obviously it's going to last longer. These stars I've had for at least 20 years because they've been laminated. And I have a file cabinet in my garage and I have Old Testament, New Testament. I actually got it at CEF. I don't know if they have them anymore, but it has the books of the Bible are the divider, so like Genesis, Exodus. And I just put my stuff according to where it's in the Bible and then I just pull it out every time, whatever book I'm studying, I'll have, like these will be under Matthew for the birth of Christ. And that way I just reuse stuff over and over and over. But so it has the commandment. So it's like memory that you played, I'm sure, with your kids. So you do it in rows and then they have to match. So I just had my kids, we have 13 kids in our class. So I had, actually it's boys and girls was very even, it's like 6 and 7. So then they took turns picking them up and remembering. And what I really liked about these is that it's not just, so the one like this, I did look very carefully. So we had learned the commandments the week before. So I was asking the kids, okay, what is this picture? And so the little boy, I guess it is, so like steam's coming out of his ears, right? And he sees a kid with like a robot. So what is he feeling? He wants that robot, right? He's jealous. So they can relate to that, right? Somebody has something they want. So what commandment would that be? Coveting, right? So because sometimes if we teach it, like the Old Testament listed, thou shalt not covet, and you do explain it, but then if they see a picture and it relates to what they, how their, that sin is presenting in their life, then they're like, oh. So we have to talk about, yeah, if you want something as someone else's, that's sin because you're wanting to take that from that person, or you're not satisfied with what you have and thankful for what God has given you. So that's why I like these two because, well, this is my pet peeve actually. So when people say, and they say, oh my God, and a lot of, I don't understand this. So if you're in here, I don't know you. So I don't understand why Christians think that's okay. I know a lot of Christians that say that regularly. But it's breaking the commandment, right? It's exactly. When they say that, they're not really talking to our Heavenly Father. So I try to teach the kids that because almost every kid uses that expression. So I want them to know why, because we're not respecting and honoring God for who he is. So we went over and they had to explain, okay, why is that the commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it whole. I mean, sorry. Thank you. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay. So that was a really fun game. So that's the website where you can find that. Yeah. And you have to obviously print it. And then, like I said, I laminated just so it would last longer. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Another thing I'd like to start out. Yes. What do you guys think?
No.
Yeah, wanting to take it from the other person or wanting it not being satisfied with what you have. Okay? I'm going to give this. Who likes chocolate a lot? Oh, who doesn't like chocolate? Yeah. Okay. The rest of you don't get any candy. Sorry. Only Donna. Donna, I'm so glad you like that chocolate. Okay, if you did that in your classroom, what would the kids be doing? That's not fair. Sorry. That's not fair. That's what kids say that all the time, right?
She got it and I didn't.
So that's my, yes. That's my favorite thing to do for when I begin to start to talk about Joseph, Old Testament Joseph. Because what happened to him? Was it fair?
No.
Okay. Was, you know, his brother sold him into slavery? That wasn't fair, right? He was put into jail and he wasn't the one that even did the sin, right? It was, yeah. So it gets their attention and we should be happy that Donna gets a treat, right, boys and girls? Instead of coveting that treat, right? Okay, so you can think of an object that goes with your lesson as an attention getter so that they're like thinking, wonder what the lesson's going to be about. It doesn't have to be you're giving someone something. It can be anything that gets their, that grabs their attention. So by seeing, right, they're getting their attention. Okay, the other thing I just started doing 2 weeks ago was in my release time bag. It doesn't have to be your release time bag. Any bag. I try to think of what's an object I have that I'll have one child come up, a different child every week, and open the secret bag and try to figure out what this object has to do with the lesson. Okay, so it might be handcuffs if you're going to talk about Peter in prison, right? Or Paul. So what I do is I've collected a bunch of little things. I don't even remember. This is so old. But at Dollar Tree, a lot of times you can find good stuff. Like they'll have the other ones, the plastic ones. You could find those. If we're going to do the 10 plagues, you know, I'll have a gnat or a locust, whatever it is. I don't know. Yeah, a lice, a giant lice, right? So just if you see stuff at the Dollar Tree or wherever, you know, Target little dollar area, then you're like, oh, that could go with this lesson. And just save them, and then it's a really good attention getter for kids because then they might already know, or when you get to that part in the lesson, you know, you're talking about the 10 plagues, and when you talk about that one, they're like, oh, that's why it was, you know, you had it in the secret bag. So that's kind of fun. I do it at the beginning to, like, introduce it. When we're transitioning, like, from the song time to, okay, we're going to start the Bible lesson. Let's see what it's going to be about. And then I call someone up and say something to do with handcuffs or, yeah, that's what I've done. The first week, though, Miss Sally was there. And I have this Moses puppet, but they all, I mean, he looks funny because he has a big beard, but they were all laughing hysterically. Miss Sally texted me later. It was because his shirt was up and he didn't have any underwear on. Because I'm like, why is this so funny? Like, yeah. So I was like, oh, man. Okay. I also want to introduce you to thinking maps. I'm just going to do a couple of the easier thinking maps. I did a whole workshop once on this, but this thinking map, these are called thinking maps, and it's what Bellflower Unified uses to teach kids how to think and how to stimulate their thinking. So this, they all have names. You probably don't have to learn the names, but you can if you want to, if it helps. This is called a double bubble. And I do use it in my teaching because they are familiar with it. And it does organize your thoughts. It's a graphic organizer. Oh, there it went.
It's alive, too.
I have more tape. So you guys are familiar with a Venn diagram, right? Did you have those? Okay. So a Venn diagram is a graphic organizer. Thank you. It should. So these are other types that someone thought up, and now they're rich because every district is buying these. You know, they're yeah. So this is comparing and contrasting. So you can put two different things in the middle bubbles, and then you think about how they're the same would be right here, because these connect. See how it connects to the bigger, they're barely bigger, but these two circles are bigger. And then how they're different. So we were talking about Joseph a minute ago, so we'll compare Joseph with Jesus. Okay, so boys and girls, can anybody think, how are Joseph and Jesus the same? What would be the same about Joseph and Jesus? Stephanie? Ooh, sold, right? They were sold. Joseph by his brothers and Jesus by his followers, right? That were his close friends, okay? What would be different from that? Jesus is different from Joseph. Oh, okay, so died on the cross. Joseph didn't die on a cross, right? Okay, rose again. I'll just include that.
Power.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. We could put that rose to power over here. It's kind of. What? Jesus was perfect, right?
Yep.
Sinless. We'll say sinless. He never sinned. Did Joseph sin?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. It doesn't really talk about his sin in the Bible specifically, but how do we know he sinned then?
All
have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And it's good to point that out, because really, I think Joseph is one of the few people in the Bible you can't find the sin. Like, I mean, he responded very godly in all these different situations, right? I mean, forgiving his brothers, amazing. And all those things, like, you know, resisting the Potiphar's wife, all that. So, but it is good for them to know, even good people are sinners, right? So you want to point that out to them. Were they both, like, tempted?
Yes.
Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan? And remember when Potiphar's wife tempted Jesus? I mean, Joseph? He ran away, right? What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He quoted scripture, right? So he used God's word, and Joseph ran away. So those are two things that we can do, boys and girls, when we are tempted. Pray to God, quote scripture, right? And run away from it, right? Find a way of escape. So you can see how those kind of graphic organizers, not just to make a little graph that they're not going to ever do anything about, but talk with them through it so that they can see, you know, like a review, or like introducing practical applications to the Bible lesson. So that's a really cool one that it's pretty easy to use. If you have to think through what story will match what map. And they're used to doing that at school too, because not every map goes with every type of writing. The other one that is fun is, you can just do, this is a simple one. You use adjectives, so describing words, and you put your main topic in the middle. So it could be, you could do, I knew this wasn't going to stay on there. I don't know how you do this. It's supposed to clip, but it doesn't really open. I don't have a pocket. Okay, we'll just sit it there. That's probably not going to work. Anyway, so you put your main thing in the middle, and then you use adjectives to surround it. So since Valentine's Day is coming up, we could talk about love. And we could read 1 Corinthians 13, right? And then let's talk about, boys and girls, what is love? What is the God's love that he wants to be in our house? How would we describe it? Love is what?
Kind.
Love is, what else does it say?
Patient.
Not selfish.
Endures.
Endures.
forgiving. Yeah. Okay, so you would do that. You could read the passage and then have them look for descriptive words and then talk about how does that look? You know, how does that look when you're out on the playground or when you're with your siblings at home or whatever? You know, how does God's love want us to behave? Okay, any questions about that? Okay, we'll do one more. And this is the circle map. Oh, sure. So really, when I did endures, I said no. It can't be a verb. It's only supposed to be an adjective. So you have to be able to say love is, I guess you could say enduring. Yeah. So this one is describing in context. That means like, let's say we're doing Moses. Tell me something about Moses. Anything. What'd you say? Sorry.
Lived during slavery in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Lived in Egypt. So this is a good, if you have a hidden in the basket, remember that, boys and girls?
Yeah.
Okay. So you could even, if it's a two-part lesson and you're going to review the beginning, like probably Joseph is more than a one-part lesson because he did a lot of things, right? So you could have the pictures maybe that you showed, like of his mom hiding him and all that and his rescue. So you could say, okay, do you remember what we talked about last week about Moses? And then as they start saying things or if they need prompts, show them the picture and then write it up there. And then after you got through that, then you could go on to the next part of the lesson. So it's just kind of to get them flowing and get them focused on what you're going to be learning that day. They really like if they're contributing too. And so this kind of lets them be a part of it. And I don't have the kids make the map because that takes way too long. I just usually do it on a whiteboard. So I wouldn't really do it on this little poster. I would do it larger on a whiteboard. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Learn by hearing. So those are the auditory learners. Do we have any visual learners in here that learn by seeing? Ooh, a lot of you. Okay, so learn by hearing. Okay, so these are the kids that you want to read this. Well, you want to read the scripture with all of them, but this is the kids that are going to get a lot out of it. But you can vary how you read the scripture, right? So sometimes I'll do odd and even. So if we're reading a passage, I'll read the odd verse, like verse 1, and then you guys get to read the even verse, and then I'll read the next one. So we go back and forth. It's especially helpful if y'all have the same version. Don't you guys? It's not crazy that we have all these. I mean, it's not crazy, but it really kind of is difficult when we have different versions. So, yeah. So you have to make sure. Sometimes if I know we have lots of different versions, then I'll print it out so that we'll all use that same version for this part. Otherwise, it's just garbly and it's hard to keep track. Sometimes I'll read a passage and then I'll read it and I tell them ahead of time, I'm going to read the mistake. I'm going to say a mistake in this verse. So when you hear the mistake, just raise your hand. I don't want you to say anything. Just raise your hand. So I didn't remember to pick out one ahead of time. But I think you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
See
if we can get it.
Go, Gail, say it and put a mistake in there.
Okay. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth.
Oh, good one. What was the mistake?
I.
Right. What should the word have been, boys and girls?
God.
Exactly. Okay. All right. And if they have their Bibles in front of them, I'll read for a while and then I'll say a mistake so that I'll know they're following along. Because that gives them, you know, you always have those kids that don't want to follow along or don't even try. Yeah. So that gives them an incentive to follow along. So they're reading along with you in their heads, and hopefully they're grasping the flow but they're also going to hear the mistake then. Okay, that just helps those that don't really like to read or don't learn by hearing, but then they'll participate too. And then everybody knows popcorn, right? So you pick a child to read verse one, and then that child gets to pick the next student to read verse two, and it goes along that. So that I tell them ahead of time, can't pick the same person that's already been picked. You have to make sure everyone gets a turn. And they'll know popcorn if they go to school, because every teacher uses popcorn, I feel like. The other one I like to do is if it's a narrative passage, like it really works well with Jonah. It says, like, and God said, and then it says what he said, and then Jonah responded. So you can do parts. And I usually am the narrator that's setting the scene, and then when it says, and God said, then, like, Stephanie would be God, and she would read the God part. And then I'll keep going to the next part, and then, like, Becky would be Jonah, and Jonah, you know, said that. It's only, you know, Jonah's only four chapters, so actually you can do, like, two chapters really easily, and they follow along because they're waiting for their part. The sailors talk, the captain talks. It's pretty cool because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dialogue. Yeah. Okay. Rhymes and chants. I have no rhythm in my body, so I don't make these up. But if your kids, you know, you have kids that are active, you could give them the task of making a rhyme or a chant when your story's over as a summary of the story, and let them teach it to the class. You know, kids hear a lot of those kind of things with the music today, so put that to good use. Then I like to do a group discussion at the end of the lesson. And these are the four points that I try to get them to do. So let's think of a sin that we need to confess. What was God teaching us from our Bible lesson today? Was there a sin that we need to confess that we're doing? Or was there a promise to claim something God said that he's going to do that we can apply to our lives? Like with Joseph. Remember he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So that would be a really good promise that God means it for good in our lives. Even though bad things are happening to us, God is going to use that for our good. So that would be an example of a promise. A temptation to avoid. For instance, with Noah, remember they were all making fun of him. And he continued to keep building the ark and follow God's plan exactly. But it could have been a temptation like, I'm going to give up because look, I'm the only one that really believes that this is going to happen. I'm just going to join everybody else, you know. So that would be a temptation to avoid. But they, you know, you could help them think of them. And then a truth to know and live by. All right, the last one on hearing. So since we just did the Ten Commandments, I found these scenarios about the Ten Commandments, and I'm letting my students pick one every week, and then they have to read it, and then they have to talk about the commandment. And Monty knows his mom has been working extra hard and is very tired. Monty's toys are all over the kitchen table. His mom hasn't asked him to clean them up, but he knows that supper will be ready soon. What commandment could you apply that to, Gail?
Commandment number 5, honor your father and mother.
Very good. Okay. So, and you know, this one might take them a while. I mean, for us, it's easy to think of, yeah. Or for kids that have, you know, either have Christian families that teach them or are in church, but for our release time kids, some of them, release time is the only time they really hear God's word. Yeah. So We have to show them that. And Gail, do you know all the motions?
Yes, I do. Commandment number one, this is simplified. There's only one God. You shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, you should not make for yourself an idol, which this is stand in sign language. Make for yourself an idol, nor bow down to it, which is, this is bowing. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, because you can do the vain, or misuse it, the words, W, three. Okay, number four, two, this is R for remember. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Or the wheels on the bus go around and around to church. Yeah. Get your car, go to church. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. These two are married and stay away from everybody else. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. They used to cut off fingers, so he's lost his two fingers. Thou shalt not steal. Number nine, this is supposed to be lying down. Thou shalt not lie or thou shalt not bear false witness. Number 10, the big C. 10. Do not covet. Thou shalt not covet.
All right.
Pretty cool. Woo-hoo! You can find those on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Gail.
The Garden of Grace Girls, and so you get it in order. It's very easy.
There's a bunch of scenarios, and I like because they're all like for kids. And I got this on, are you guys familiar with Teachers Pay Teachers? Okay, so Teachers Pay Teachers, that's the website. It does cost money. It doesn't cost money just to look at them. It costs if you decide to buy them. So for instance, this was $2 to download. You download and you can print them yourself. And but for me, it's like, okay, $2. Can I think of all these scenarios and type them up? No, I probably won't be able to. There's actually more than this. This is some of them I didn't really like. So I went through and read them. Some of them I thought, that doesn't really match that well. But so it's pretty cool. The only thing, I didn't give you these because you're only supposed to use it for your own use. So you just have to be mine. But it is $2 on Teachers Pay Teachers. So you just put whatever you're teaching into the search engine and it'll show you if there's any helps on that or any lessons or anything. Okay. The next page is tactile or kinesthetic. And these are the kids that are your wiggle worms, right? So they learn by doing. And these are a lot of our kids nowadays. So you're acting out stuff. So everybody stand up. This is my favorite thing. but I forget it because I'm getting old. okay, so this is the first 12 chapters of Genesis. And believe me, when the kids learn this, they love that they know this. I mean, they just feel a sense of accomplishment that they know what's in. And these are really important chapters. They're like foundational too to a lot of our faith. So Genesis 1 and 2. Creation, like you're making something. I don't know if these are real sign language because I don't know.
It's two C's going like this.
Okay. Gail, can you tell us what it is?
A little bit.
Okay. So 1 and 2, creation. Genesis 3, the fall. And that means when we first sinned, you have to explain that to them. But I try to use it because it's Christianese. And and you can explain it when we fell out of God's favor, right? We sinned. Okay. Genesis 4. Cain and Abel. So this is after they'll know what these mean when I do it. Okay. We talk about it. Okay. So 5 and 10. So 5, but counting by 5 is 5 and 10 is genealogies. So you're just like writing on your hand. And that's when they say who's the grandfather, who's the father, who's the son. Okay. And then 6 through 9 is the flood. So we have 4 chapters for the flood. 6 through 9, sorry, the flood. And what was 10 again?
Genealogy
is good. 11, Tower of Babel. Remember they built that big tower, tried to get up to heaven. Tower of Babel. And then 12, we're going to march. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had. Okay, we all know that. Okay, really quick. 1 and 2.
Creation.
creation.
Three.
Fall.
Four.
Cain and Abel.
Five.
Genealogy.
6 through 9.
Blood.
10.
Genealogy.
11.
Genealogy.
12. Okay, you guys did it. Now when they say, we're going to turn to the Tower of Babel, what chapter are you going to turn to?
11.
Good job, guys. Okay. I need four volunteers from this side come up. Four volunteers from this side come up. Okay. So the last person gets, we need one more. Last person gets the bowl. Good old Katie.
Okay.
Oh, she's not gonna be, okay. Okay, this is their Bible verse, okay? And if they're duplicates. So it happens to be love one another. Okay, because this is all my Valentine preparation. So I'm going to give you the first word, okay? And you're going to pass it down. As soon as it gets to the last two girls, Lisa and Gail, they're going to run up. They're going to leave the bowl on the chair.
Okay.
And then they're going to run up to the front, and I'm going to give them the second word, okay? And we're going to go down the line, and whoever finishes, there's four hearts for each, okay?
I'm going to get out of the way then.
Okay. Ready? Go. No, you can stay.
Oh. Stop, 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 stop.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stay. I didn't think you stopped.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't explain it very well.
All right.
I think we're done.
Yay.
Okay.
That's cute. Yeah, that's really cute.
Okay. Thank you, girls. There's no candy, sorry. So just write your verse on whatever. It's easy to do. Actually, what I have them do in class is put it on the floor in order. So then we read it afterward, so they could review it, right? But you could do that with any verse. It doesn't have to be hearts. It could just be strips of paper and then have them put it in order. Just makes it more fun if they're moving around, right? Then if you can't just give them the strips and have them put on the floor, which I do a lot of times, but this is just more active for those kinesthetic learners. All right, the next thing is, so Easter's coming, right? These are, resurrection eggs, you guys have probably all used those before. So to make a simplified version that you could make for each child, because it's hard to do the whole 12. I have done it, but it's a lot of things. I usually just do the three. So one has a nail. So you talk about the crucifixion. One has a little rock for the tomb, the burial, right? And then what's the last one?
Empty.
Empty for the resurrection. And then they could each make their own little set and take home. And it's really cost effective because, the dozen eggs are really inexpensive. Just buy nails and find rocks around. And, not real eggs this year, for sure. and then they could each take it home and they can share with their family all about the Easter story. So that's really fun. And then this one, my little pansy's not looking so good. So you use two of these kind of cups, the like punch cups, the plastic ones.
It's called styrene. I used to work with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, styrene.
Okay. And then you have this little, it's a little tricky because it has to be curved like this. So you have to play around with it to get the right shape and have them decorate that. So he is risen. And then you just, it's great because you put it in the first one and then you put the other one with the plant, let them plant a plant. And when you water it, then it doesn't get the paper wet when you do two. Yeah, it's cute, huh? And of course you would know they would get excited if they get to take a plant, right? And you could just buy the pony packs, the bigger plant, and just take them. This one isn't even really planted in here. I need to plan them. No wonder it's dying, right? It will be, yeah. Okay. And then the last Easter thing, I know you've probably already seen this. I saw this actually upstairs in their workroom, and I just thought it was so cool. So yesterday I found a rock, and it's just, have you guys seen this? It's so cool. Such an easy way. So get a rock, and then they just, with a Sharpie, so Jesus came down to earth, right? He died on a cross. He was put in a tomb. And he rose again and went back to heaven after 40 days, and he's coming back again for us.
Right.
Isn't that good? It's so, and it's so easy, and then they could all take it home and tell everybody what it means. But if you go to Monte Verde Park, they don't have any rocks. We already looked off. They have wood chips now, but I did find one in my garden. Okay, and then this one on the floor, Sally, this is how she convinced me to do a workshop again, because I played this at Good News Club, and she's like, just do that game. I said, well, I don't think that's going to take 50 minutes, Sally, to play one game. But so what I did differently this year, because I'm in the bus, it worked really great. I had them march every one, and everybody said it. So, and then when they got to the front, they got, these are representing the three gifts that the wise men brought, and they had to toss it into the basket, and then we kept score how many they got out of the three. But every time the next person came, we all said the verse, and they had to like step on it like little stepping stones. So by the time they end, they really knew the verse really well. So it was like Matthew, if you can see it, you could say it with me, Matthew 2:2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then they got their turn. Went pretty good. So,
you got it.
So that's a really fun one. That's why I've had those stars all these years, because I just use them every year. Okay, so that's the last one. Oh, good. We're doing good on time. Okay, the last thing is to... this one kind of, some people only do the first three because it's a little kind of overlaps some of like doing, but it's learning by the written word. So this is actually them writing things down, right, written words. So I'm just going to list these, like after your lesson, they could write a note to God. Just thanking him for something or confessing something. You can give them clues of what they should write about. Asking him for something from the lesson, or maybe just clarifying like what they learned. Like, I learned today that you helped Joseph. Please help me because I'm having a hard time at recess. And like that. Think about what is something in your life that you're having a trouble with that you need God's help. So it's like an application, and they're writing a note. Instead of praying audibly, they're writing it down. So that's one thing. And then, this is a diagram. I will let them do this too. I'll be doing it on the board for them if it's their first time seeing it, but they could also be doing it on a piece of paper. It's Romans 6:23, and for the wages, okay, I'm just going to start there. So, boys and girls, wage is something that you earn when you have a job. I don't know if you saw signs around town where it says, like, $15.50 an hour, like at McDonald's, right? That's the wage that you'll earn if you work 1 hour. What is the opposite of having to work? You get some money, but you didn't work for it. Stole it. But that's besides that, Carol. It's maybe on your birthday or Christmas, you get a gift, right?
Not that I ever did.
Okay. So it would be a gift, okay? For the wages of sin. So sin is anything that you think, say, or do that doesn't please God, right? So God is the only one that never sinned. So we'll put him opposite sin because he is sinless. He's never sinned, right? So for the wages of sin is death. That means you're separated from God forever, unless you are forgiven. So for the, what's the opposite of death? Life. Death and life. Yes. And it's eternal life. That means it's life forever and ever. So for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you make a cross, okay? So instead of having to work, we can't work our way to heaven. We can try, but it will never get there because we always have sin in our heart. So God gives us a gift, a free gift, to take away our sin so that we can get to God. It's through Jesus Christ, and we get eternal life, and we don't have death anymore. We're not separated from God because of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, or Jesus Christ, depending on the translation. That's a cool one for talking about salvation, that they can make a diagram. Okay, sometimes this is a fun thing. Have them write out the verse, the memory verse, but tell them, don't put any spaces between your words. So say it's for all, just all in one line, for all. You probably have to show them in the beginning. So they'll do it on their paper. Okay, for instance, and I won't finish it. But, and now I want you to trade with someone and have them make a line in between the words. See if they can find the individual words. Oops, that one doesn't even work. Ooh, these are really dry. I don't know if I'm going to find a good one. There we go. So then they would trade with a neighbor, and they, so as they're doing that, they're reviewing the verse, right? And practicing it. But it's a fun thing. And keep, you would keep going, okay? That's a neat one. The other nice thing is, like, have them, give them just a bookmark-shaped piece of paper, maybe a cardstock, and let them design a bookmark that has to go with the lesson that we just had. Maybe like a picture of what it was or what they learned from it. Let them be creative. I don't try to put too many, like, parameters on it because then they don't want to do it. Then it's like work, right? But if you just let them design it however they want and have maybe like crayons or colored pencils, and then they can come up and share if you have time, like, or pick a couple. I try to have, I don't have it in my class. I need to do it now that they're getting a little used to our system, but like popsicle sticks with their name so that you could draw one out so it's random, right? And you're not just always kind of end up picking the same people because you know that they're the ones that pay attention and they'll have the right answer. But it's good if you do it randomly so that the quieter ones, they might be paying attention, but they're just quiet, right? So they don't demand your attention. So yeah, then let them share their bookmark and explain it so that they're actually applying the scripture or reviewing what you learned. So that's a fun thing. And then they could keep it for school or put it in their Bible or whatever. Okay, are there any questions? I did in the hallway put like some handouts about Easter that I bought on Etsy. I didn't realize that Etsy had so much Christian stuff on there. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't know that. So on Etsy you can share. So I copied, so just take one and then you'll have to make your own copies because they're color. But they're kind of some fun, I thought they were a little bit different of Easter, like puzzles. Some kids really like to do puzzles. Our class likes to do puzzles, yeah. So any questions? Okay, well thank you for coming.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.